This is Lightning Playoff Rewind.
Puck alive in the neutral zone. Lilleberg back in his own end for Glendening, who loses Cousins, so skated out to center ice. Final few seconds tick down off the clock. The season will come to an end for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They lose to the Florida Panthers in game five by a final of 6-1.
The good teams find a way, and we've certainly done that in the past, and they did that. So like I said, you have to give the other team credit. That's a really good deep hockey team, really good defensively, limit your chances, and we just, you know, we capitalized on a few that didn't count tonight, and that was the game plan, was to get some pucks towards the net, get some screens in front and some traffic, and we did that, and it just didn't go our way.
Our first two games, you know, I think feel that desperation, you know, in these last two games and in the first two games, I think it would have been a different series. You know, they started on time and we didn't, and that's at the end, that's what cost us.
You know, we saw it one way, but they're reviewing those and they're, you know, talking with Toronto on them, and you know, it is what it is. You know, it doesn't go our way. You know, we're trying to be at the net, I guess maybe a little bit too aggressive in their eyes, that we're kind of in the paint too much, and you know, but like I said, it is what it is on those calls, just out of our control. You know, once they're
reviewing. Well, you're gonna wake up in the morning and some casual fan's gonna be, wow, Tampa got blown out. Anybody that follows the game or is in the building knows that was not the case. There was a lot of things that didn't go our way tonight. A lot of things that didn't go away in the series. And trust me, I've come to the podium second plenty of times. And I know, you know, how fortunate our teams have been when we did win.
To break down yesterday's playoff action, here's Bobby Fenton on Lightning Radio 24/7 on the Lightning mobile app.
All right, welcome to another and unfortunately our final edition of Lightning Playoff Rewind here for the 2023-2024 season and playoffs. I'm Bobby Fenton coming at you today. The morning after a tough one last night, the Lightning lose by a final score of 6-1. Of course, if you saw the game, you know it wasn't quite how the score indicated, but it really doesn't matter anyway. Nonetheless, it was a loss in the fourth in five games to the Panthers, and that means a 4-1 series win and a first-round exit for the Bolts after what looked like maybe a little spark in Game 4 to make it 3-1 and avoid the sweep. It just didn't happen, and we'll break it all down for you on today's show. Not just the game last night, but obviously now that this is the final show, we'll kind of put a nice little bow on the whole season and where the Lightning are as a franchise, and there's obviously a lot to get to considering some of the issues that the Lightning will face in the offseason and all of that, so it's a time to heal today, and it's going to take more than a day. If you're a big Lightning fan like we are, it's always a disappointment when you come this far, and the hockey season is so long. You know, it's 6 months and 82 games, and a lot of it just feels like waiting for the playoffs to start, because for all those months and all those games, then it can all be over very quickly, which it is now for the Lightning. And so, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, but we're going to give you that first step into the offseason and already get you excited, hopefully, for the 2024-2025 season coming up. So without further ado, I want to introduce my friend and my partner and the producer and director of the Lightning Audio Network, Steve Versnick. Steve, tough one last night. I hate that we're doing this for the last time today, but how you doing?
It's never fun the day after the season ends, unless you get to the ultimate championship and win the Stanley Cup. So those two days after were great.
Yeah.
The last three, not so good. But I don't think I could say I'm surprised by the outcome of the series. Because I think Florida's a damn good team.
Oh, absolutely. Well coached and very talented.
I think they're the best team in the East. They might be the best team in hockey. We'll see if it plays out through the playoffs and how far they advance. But they're fast. They've got skill. They're deep. They play hard. They play physical. Like, I it reminds me a lot of the Lightning teams from 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, no, it does. It really does. And the way that they, not just how good they are, but the way that they play, I absolutely agree with that. And it's showing now. They had a run to the Stanley Cup final last year. We'll see how far it goes this year. Not that that's our main concern, but that's a really tough team and a team that, like you said, I mean, I always think the Lightning can win with this core group of guys. They always do have a chance in any series. And even though this one went only five games, it was a pretty close series if you look at some of the final overall numbers, and yet the Lightning always just seemed to be playing from behind, one goal here, one goal there, couldn't get the big one when they needed it, and the Panthers always seemed to have an answer even during those very few times that honestly it felt like the ice was tilted in the Lightning's favor. So looking at just last night,
the first three games were one goal games.
Yeah.
There was an empty netter in game three. So it was
one
goal game. After two periods on game five, the score was Panthers 2, Refs 2, Lightning 1.
Yeah. Yeah, they put that graphic up on Bally Sports. I was watching the Bally Sports broadcast and like the goal by period cumulative for the entire series. And I didn't actually realize it. I was like, wait a minute. But yeah, I mean, there was a one goal difference at that point.
Yeah.
And the whole series, even though, yes, it did feel like the Panthers were outplaying the Lightning for the majority of it. And, you know, you make your own luck. But it's actually, I guess if I'm looking at things to be encouraged about in the offseason, looking ahead to next year, the Lightning still have the core group of guys that they had. Obviously, Stamkos is one we'll get to in a few minutes on the show here. But besides that, they have a very solid core of guys who are, in a lot of cases, future Hall of Famers. So there's that. And there's the fact that, I don't know, they played particularly well in this series, and certainly the Panthers are a reason for that. But yet, even with the Panthers playing pretty well and the Lightning not, like you just said, this wasn't that. If the Panthers really are the best team in the East and maybe the best team in the NHL, and I certainly don't disagree with you, they could be. The Lightning, for all they've been through, aren't that far off of it, really, you know?
No, this is still a team. Look, we said going into the postseason, nobody wanted to play the Lightning. Like, when you have that core, you always have a shot.
Yeah.
And they did in this series. Now, I think this was the worst matchup for the Lightning in the first round, and it seemed to play out that way.
Seemed to show.
You know, it was almost, you know, had Boston not, did they tank the last two games to not play the Lightning? Maybe.
We'll never know for sure.
You know, we thought it was going to be Boston going down the stretch, which you were kind of going, I'll take that matchup. Like, I don't know if the Lightning were going to win, but I'd take my chances with that one. The Florida was the one that you were kind of like, that's going to be the toughest one. That's going to be just the way the Lightning match up. And it kind of played out that way. But this core, and with the exception of Stamkos and Hedman, who are 33, 34, like, they're still in their prime. Cooch just turned 30. Point, Sergachev, Vazzy, these guys are all younger. Like, they're in their prime. Like, people think the Lightning are an old team. They're not that, really.
No, they're not.
I mean, Hedman and Stamkos are, relatively, 33, 34.
Yeah, everyone else is right where you want them.
Everybody else is, they're in their prime. Now, they probably need to add another piece or two somewhere. You know, we kind of saw that when they added Anthony Duclair, how just that top six forward changed their offense a lot. You know, so Julian Breeswell's got his job cut out for him this offseason. But the core is still in their prime, and you've got Hall of Famers in there. You've got Stanley Cup champions in there. Like, they always have a shot. And when you have 88 net, you definitely do.
And that was another thing that was encouraging about this series, if nothing else, because Vasilevsky dealt with the injuries, of course, and missed the first 2 months. Then he wasn't really himself, wasn't very good, to be perfectly honest, when he did come back for a while there. And he was still getting back in the groove, but I wanted to see at the very least that he's still the guy, especially given the contract he has, that he's still that guy. And I think, I mean, maybe he had a couple goals in the series that you might want back, but I think overall he was that guy in this series. And if you had told me before the series that he'd play the way he played, I would have felt pretty good about the Lightning's chances. It didn't work out, obviously, but I think he showed that he's still the guy that they won two Stanley Cups with, and the guy that they paid, and the guy who's still going to be that guy.
And I'm not convinced he's 100% healthy yet.
No, it takes time. I mean, we talked about that last show. Yeah. It takes time, and he still may not be all the way back, but he certainly showed, like in this series, I thought he showed a lot, and I was really encouraged. And now, given another offseason where they don't go deep in the playoffs, so they have more time to have a full offseason and train and recover and all the things they do.
You've got four and a half months till training camp.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. You know, not that anybody ever wants that, but it'll give them a chance to hopefully get right. And so that's one of the things we'll look forward to. Now, let's just get it out of the way now, because there's a million things to talk about. We're not going to rehash everything that happened in the game last night, since it's the last game and there's now a whole offseason to look ahead to. But let's get it out of the way, the disallowed goals. I know you alluded to them a few minutes ago. And very frustrating, clearly, when you have any goal disallowed ever, when you have two, and we're not talking about offsides calls where it's even though it can be a very fine line, it's still a black and white line. This is a gray area, and goaltender interference has become one of those things in the NHL, and it's reviewable, and it's not something you can write a rule with the perfect verbiage where you can just clearly define exactly what you're looking for. So there's a high degree of subjectivity to it. With that said, I don't know, man. I don't want to be yell about the refs guy today, but it's almost like expected goals, I guess. Between those two reviews, I feel like we got one goal out of those two. I don't know which one it was. Each one of those reviews was like worth 0.6 of a goal, but to have them both disallowed, I mean, it's hard to win. It's hard to win, and the Panthers are so good as it is. When you're going to start not counting goals or give, I'm still pissed off about the power play goal in game one that ended up being the game winner on that horrible call against Nick Paul. It was going to be tough for the Lightning all along, but it was really tough given all of that and last night.
No question about it. And I leagues, whether it's, doesn't matter the sport, football, baseball, hockey, like they're trying to create excitement. You're trying to create scoring. Like, scoring is a good thing. Baseball wants more action, and they put pitch clocks in, and they love the home runs. They want scoring. Football is always looking to ways to benefit the offense so they get more scoring. And hockey, throughout the regular season, always wants more scoring. Then we get to the playoffs, and we want to take goals off the board. And look, if there's goaltender interference, it shouldn't count.
Of course.
But I don't... Was Duclair technically in the blue paint? Yes. Was Forsling holding him there? Absolutely.
Yeah, let's go goal by goal, the first one.
Did Bobrovsky play the puck with his stick and actually hit it, but Cirelli stole it off his stick and went and knocked it in? Like, where did Duclair interfere with him at?
I mean, to me, and again, I know it's hard to write a rule that covers everything, mm-hmm. and it's the perfect wording, and you can just make an easy call. It's still subjective. But to me, when your stick is being held the way Duclair's was, that was the key for me. If he just had a stick on the ice and did, you know, that'd be one thing. But he was unable to move without releasing his stick. Yep. He would have had to clearly give himself up as an offensive player in order to do anything other than what he did. His stick was being held. To me, that's the end of it right there. The guy's holding his stick. He can't move, period. Mm-hmm. And he's not standing in the crease when his stick gets held.
Right.
So that's it to me. I mean, that's it. His stick is getting held.
The other part to me was Bobrovsky's play was he played the puck with his stick. That's what took him out of position, not interference.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean,
he hit it with the stick. Cirelli took it the other way, and boom, it was in the net. Like,
yeah,
I don't.
Even if he had been interfered with, though, it's kind of the same as. I mean, we had the one game one. I think it was the first goal of the series, right, where we thought Vasilevsky was interfered with, but our player pushed him into him, and another one tonight that was also a very physical play. Vasilevsky got wiped out. And it was the right call because Hagel did push the Florida player into him again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's something like that. Okay. But Duclair, they are holding his stick. I mean, they are holding his stick. The Panthers player is the reason Duclair was where he was. And that's that. I mean, that, to me, it's as far as it goes. I think they really, like you, the standard should be really high. And John Cooper in his post-game comments, I mean, he was asked, of course, he sits down in the chair, the first thing anybody asks about is the goaltender interference calls. He immediately kind of put it to rest and said, I'm going to address all that at the end, and let's go about the rest of the press conference. If there's anything else anybody wants to ask me, go ahead, and then we'll talk about that. So there was a few other questions, and then he went on, he gave a four-minute answer at the end. But basically, I'm paraphrasing, I won't go word for word. He said, you know, it's gotten a little too soft with the way we treat the goaltenders. A goaltender, you know, fighting in front of the net between a forward and a defenseman is just a bedrock core thing about hockey. And goaltenders should have to fight a little bit too. You shouldn't be able to interfere, like you said, interfere with them, no. But man, any little thing now, it's like, it stopped him from, no. I mean, he should have to fight around that stuff. Unless they're in the middle of his crease or something like that, and they put themselves there, which wasn't the case. And... yeah, I mean, I agree with him. It should be a really high standard where everybody goes, oh, yeah, that was goaltender interference. And clearly, and this doesn't apply just to last night's game. I'm talking about in general now.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. At least the second one, we'll talk about the second one in a minute, but at least that one they called in real time. But like he said, this one, the first one, got taken off the board. And the standard to do that should be way higher than what I saw and what we all saw, especially given the fact that Duclair couldn't move because his stick was being held, period, to me. So
Couldn't agree more.
You know, and that one hurt. It would have been the first goal of the game, which is huge, and the Lightning got it and then had it taken away, and the Panthers got a 2-0 lead instead. So let's look at the second goal now, and this one I thought was a little more... I still think it was 50-50. I don't think it was as egregiously bad as the first one. Some people on Twitter, like I was looking at Twitter, and some people were saying, oh, no, the first one was okay, and the second one's the one that makes me mad. And everybody's got different interpretations.
Well, I don't think Bobrovsky tried to play the puck.
And Cooper said that, too. He mm-hmm. felt like he had an opening, like, oh, hey, here's a puck. I can't see, first of all. I couldn't see.
Yep.
So, hey, this is probably something we can get called if I sell this.
Yep.
Drops his stick, all this stuff, and yeah, and it worked out.
And Eric Furlak bought it.
Yeah. And yet that one, at the very least, and you could argue the Panthers players spun him around, but at the very least, Cirelli's leg does come into Bobrovsky and kind of, you know, push him a little bit. I mean, that one I could have, you know, if it hadn't been for the first one, the second one I may not have been as upset about, but man, on top of that other one, yikes. And so, I don't know. It just, it like you said, we first of all, I'm one of those guys. We shouldn't just do things because it's more fun. I get that it's entertainment. And people always say, oh, it's entertainment. I still like things to be fair and equitable mm-hmm. and
Absolutely.
Make sense. So
Absolutely.
I don't think we should just say, oh, well, do whatever you want because it's more fun when there's a lot more
no.
goals.
No.
But still, yeah, it should be a very high standard. And that standard didn't get met for sure on the first one. I mean, possibly not even on the second one. And I actually happened to be in the car during the second one. I had run out real quick. So I had Michigan and Espo on. And when he yelled score, like in that just couple tenths of a second, I felt a jolt. It's the only, probably not just the first, but the only time in this whole series where I felt like, hey, we got a series here. Like, we're going to win this thing. Like, I felt like just tying it to, we're going to win the rest of this game tonight. We're going to come back. Game six is going to be Wednesday at Amalie Arena. I mean, I was totally pumped. It was like literally a few tenths of a second. Then he goes, oh, wait. And they wave it off. Tough to, and if it was that hard for me to yo-yo emotionally like that, it was probably pretty hard for the team too. I actually think they gave it a good shot after having to deal with all that.
No, they're a veteran team, and so they don't get rattled.
No, but emotionally, you lose that wind in your sails.
Well, it
man.
Doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's not easy. And you know, you think you should be up 3-2, you're down 2-1. You know, you're up 3-2 going the third. It's a whole different game than down 2-1. Or even if it's just 2, even if you can get one of them, it's 2-2. Changes everything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you just give me half a goal on each of mm-hmm. those. It works out. I don't know which one, but one of those should have counted for something. And it would have been a completely different game. And especially, and it doesn't excuse the Lightning. The Panthers, and Cooper said this too, after all that happened, you know, the Panthers did a good job weathering the Lightning in the third. The Lightning had a few chances there, but not, I mean, nothing.
The Panthers did a lot of what the Lightning did in game four in the third period.
Yeah. And,
you know, give them credit for that.
The Lightning
had a great third period on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And the Panthers had a really good period on Monday night, third period. And, you know, they end up getting, a couple empty netters, but so they scored, four goals in the period, but really two.
Yeah. Yeah, the last two empty netters. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really, I respected it. I wasn't really sure why we had the goaltender pulled at the point that it was 5-1 with a minute. Not that it mattered, but let me get proper credit. I got a tweet from somebody. I thought this was funny. I wish this had actually happened. Bub459 on Twitter. He says, Bobby, I'm very disappointed that Cooper didn't challenge the empty netter for goaltender interference just to send a message. He should have done that. That would have been funny. Like, he should have challenged the last goal.
I like that one. I like that.
Yeah. And just ask them to please go look at the tablet and see if there was any interference, just as a final little, you know, swan song type of thing. But I guess at the end of the day, I mean, I'll say this. I'm not one of the, I hate when there's bad calls and people then just go pick out all the different things you did wrong in the series and say, oh, well, you know, mm-hmm. the referees didn't do that. Yeah, you do things wrong sometimes. Nobody's perfect. Calls still have to get made the correct way. So it's like in football, though, that holding penalty costs the game. Oh, well, the referees didn't kick a field goal when it was first and goal from the four. Well, so what? Sometimes you kick a field goal after having first and goal and you still win. I don't care about that. All I care about is the – don't give me that. But having said that, the Lightning sleptwalked through the first three games of this series, I think like 7 of the 9 periods.
Mm-hmm.
And so last night, notwithstanding, you can't do that. I mean, it the fact that it got to even a game five, they're probably fortunate, but you can't do what they did for three games and then just flip a switch. And then, you know, you got to go tooth and nail the entire way. And the Lightning didn't seem like they were up for this in time enough. And by the time they got into it, it was too late. I know they were trying, but that's what it felt like.
No question about it. Florida deserved to win this series. They were the better team for, as you said, seven of the first nine periods. Would have been eight of the first 12, right?
Yeah. And the overtime, which was short.
Yeah, because in game four, I would say the Lightning won two of those periods. And then you get to game five. So, you know, the Florida played the better series, created their better breaks. You know, I mean, John Cooper even talked about, look, how many power play goals did Florida get? Two? Lightning got four, but if you look at the timing of them, they weren't always the right time.
Yeah, the Lightning penalty kill was awesome in this series. Mm-hmm. Of course, the game winner in game one was one of the power play goals, but overall...
I mean, if the Lightning want to point to why they lost the series, it's because their power play was not effective enough.
No.
And well, they got four power play goals, which isn't bad for a playoff series, but how many power plays did they not get a shot?
Yeah.
On net.
And the 4 minute one was a bad that was not just a turning point in that game, but the series. The 4 minute double minor, and to not get something there. If they score on that, they might win that game. The whole series is different.
Before game four, I was talking to Randy Moeller of the Panthers television network.
Yeah.
Former player in that. He's been with the Panthers for a long time. Great guy. And he flat out said, he goes, that 4 minute power play has been that's the series right there.
Yep, right there. I mean, they don't score.
Lightning score one or get two on that power play, whole series is different. Like, yep. That was the series was determined. I shouldn't say determined, but it was pretty well set at that point when the Lightning didn't convert that 4 minute power play. That the Panthers were taking a big lead in the series, and that, you know, had the Lightning scored one or two goals there, different series.
Yeah, completely. No, you're right. It's the rule of Espo. He says it all. He says it about five on threes and, you know, double minor. If you get one of those and don't score, it's actually a disadvantage, and you're very likely to lose the game. And they did lose that game. And you just said that the reason they lost the series was because their power play didn't do well enough. I would go a step further. Their power play didn't do well enough, of course, number one, but number two, and this is all year long, they're too power play dependent. At 5-on-5, this was an average team at best all year, and maybe a little below average, and they're very skilled, and they're very good on the power play, but those come and go. First of all, the penalties themselves come and go. You may not even get that many chances, but even when you do, you're not going to be 30% just because you were 30% in the regular season. You're not going to be able to count on that. And so, you know, 5-on-5 is still the true, like, that you have to be able to make some hay there. And the Lightning really never did. And so you get into a series. And I remember even back to 2011, remember game seven against Boston where they didn't get a power play at all? There was no call. Everybody's like, oh, how could that give us a power play? And yeah, okay, whatever. But still, I mean, you can't be a team that we got to have our power plays if we're going to do anything. It just can't be that way. And it was. It has been for this team all season long.
Yeah, they've had, and I don't think their 5-on-5 play has been
awful. Terrible.
No, they've had trouble getting the pucks out of their own end.
Yeah.
And so they chase the game for parts because
against teams half Florida size.
They struggle because they're constantly trying to pass the puck out. And at times that works great, but when it's bottled up and the team's forechecking as hard as like Florida does or some teams, sometimes you got to just do whatever it takes to get it out, not try to keep that puck possession. I think sometimes they focus on puck possession too much when things aren't going their way. Like when things start rolling against you, just get it out.
Right.
You know, as Espo and others would say, you know, fight in a different zone. Don't fight in your own zone. Go fight in the neutral zone or the others, whatever. You know, just get it out and go fight for the puck somewhere else than in your own end, which is where it ends up quickly in the back of your net. And that's where they struggled a lot this year and at times in the series too.
Yeah, and if this is the last team you're going to struggle with getting the puck out of your own end against, and they're a big reason why teams struggle getting the puck out of their own end. And so at the end of the day, I mean, it's frustrating with the two disallowed goals. There were a few moments, and Cooper, he said them in his press conference. He said, you look back over the series, he said there was the power play goal, game winner in game one to start the third period. He mentioned the 4 minute double minor. And there was a couple just key moments like that. And the Lightning had to be on the right end of at least a couple of those. Mm-hmm. And they never seemed to be. And so, you know, the only game they end up winning is when it's too late. And they can't get it done last night. And that's that. Some quick numbers for you. I won't do a huge numbers corner, but now that the playoff run here is done, It's still 9 playoff appearances in 10 seasons for the Lightning. That was
10 and 11, isn't it?
Actually, yeah, you're right. I misspoke. 10 and 11, which is something that not just the Lightning, but any Tampa sports team, that the likes of that we haven't ever seen or hadn't ever seen. Rays are kind of trying to get there with the run they're on since 2008. But that was the 38th series in the history of the Lightning playoff history, at least. And they are now 25-13 in playoff series. So still pretty good, despite 2 first round exits in a row the last 2 seasons. With the loss last night, they're 122-94 in playoff games overall. And of course, and we could go on and on and get into the minutia, but those are the main numbers for now. And I'll throw some other numbers at you, because you never want to rest on past laurels. You always want to look ahead. But 3 straight Stanley Cup finals, 2 Stanley Cups. In fact, they put them, we'll talk about Stamkos now, because Bally Sports had a nice graphic I thought was pretty cool to look at. And they kind of summed up the Stamkos era. And I say that, they put that up there. We could still be in the Stamkos era, okay? So I'm not saying the era is over. We don't know. But the graphic, and I have it on my Twitter if you want to follow me, at Bobby Game Day. In the Stamkos era, 2 Stanley Cups, 5 finals appearances, 98 playoff games won. I just told you the Lightning are 122-94 overall in their history in any playoff games, okay? 98 of the 122 Steve Stamkos, and he wasn't obviously dressed for all of them. I know he had some injuries, but 98 of the 122 Steven Stamkos has been on the team. 20 of the 25 playoff series wins this team has ever had in the Steven Stamkos era. Of course, the 2019 President's Trophy and 2 Rocket Richard trophies on top of that. And up to and including this year, and maybe even especially this year, Steve, one of the best players on the ice, still playing at a high level. John Cooper said in his post games, he was asked about Stamkos when he said he didn't want to talk about the disallowed goals yet. And I kind of liked his answer, because, you know, everybody's like kind of waiting with bated breath, and he didn't even hesitate. He goes, oh, I don't think there'll be much of a discussion there. He's like, you know, he made it sound like he thinks he's coming back. Now, he did say that's not my, it's between him and
JDB.
Yeah,
he said, because he should be a Bolt for life, but that's between Julian and Steven to work out.
Yeah. But they asked him, like, you know, hey, what's the conversation going to be like? And he was like, oh, I don't think there'll be much of a conversation. Like, it was like a given. And so, you know, it's easier said than done. So speaking of 5-on-5 and power play, Stamkos' thing is the power play at 5-on-5. His numbers aren't great either. Given where the Lightning, well, for where do you think the Lightning are right now? I mean, it's hard to win the Stanley Cup. There's 32 teams. The Lightning did it and went to the finals 3 straight years. It's perfectly normal to, you know, have a few first round exits as well. And so right now, given that they have the core they have, which, like you said, is pretty young outside of Hedman and Stamkos, and it's pretty good. Do you feel, I mean, I don't think rebuild is the right word. They might only be a few pieces away, but it's also pretty hard to acquire those pieces.
Their depth, I think they struggle on their decor, which is where you're starting those breakouts in your own end trying to get the puck out.
Yeah.
I like seeing the emergence of Lilleberg and Crozier, particularly as a pair. I think there's some hope for the future there. You know, you've got Hedman, you know, you got Sergachev, you know, you got Chernak and Darren Radish. Those are kind of your top 4 defensemen.
Yeah, Chernak is, I don't know, man. They need more out of him.
Well, he's locked up long term. So
I know he's locked up long term. And I don't know. I'm not suggesting they trade him, but he could be, I don't know how much he'd get. But
well, those are your top 4.
Yeah.
And then, but to see that Lilleberg and Crozier, and they're young and you know, they have good chemistry together, which is nice. You know, you really see Lilleberg plays better with Crozier on his right and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some good hope there. I mean, the hard part is with the cap being flat over the last 4 years, essentially, and the Lightning having traded a lot of picks and prospects to bring home 2 Stanley Cups and get to a 3rd final and, you know, keep this run going with a flat cap, that you need to rely on the guys from Syracuse to come up and fill some of those holes on the roster.
And yeah, except
we've seen some guys like Mitchell Chafee come up and stay this year. That's a good sign. You know, you've got Cole Koepke, you've got others down in Syracuse that you're going to need to step up in the next year or two.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to. And the Lightning have not had a lot of draft picks, and they don't. They in the coming up draft here in the summer, they don't pick to the 5th round.
Right.
And it's been like that for a while. So, yeah, I mean,
but that's tough. But to see that, you know, how many, what, seven guys from Syracuse made their debuts this year, and all of them showed well. Now, some of them were only a game or two, so, you know, we'll see if next year they can make an impact. But you're going to need some of those guys because some of the depth pieces that you brought in for this season didn't maybe pan out as well as you'd hoped.
No, that's the thing. I mean, they're going to have to – I mean, I'm looking at cap friendly here as far as what they're looking at. I mean, you got Dumba.
I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Duclair.
I like what he's. I mean, it depends on money, but
I don't think they can afford him unless Stamkos doesn't come back.
Right. So,
you know, I think they'd like Duclair back, but I don't know if they can afford him and Stamkos.
Yeah.
And the other pieces you need. To stay under the cap. And the cap is going up about $4 million this year.
Yeah, that'll help.
But Brendan Hagel is getting a $5 million raise.
Right. So it pretty much just keeps you at a flat cap. It's all a wash.
Essentially. So, yeah.
Yeah, because Hagel jumps. He was $1.5 million this year. He jumps to $6.5 million.
Correct.
For the next five-plus years. And, you know, again, that's fine. These are good players. Kucherov, he's good to go. Locked up. Points locked up. Mm-hmm. Sorelli's locked up. Nick Paul's locked up. These are all guys that you want and are going to, as long as they're around, you have a chance to be pretty good. Hagel, the other one we just talked about.
Yep.
And that's just the forwards. You know, we'll see. Sergachev is locked up as well. Sergachev, I mean, it was awesome seeing him come back from the injury. He just always seems to make that. No, I would say always. That's not fair to say. He's still too mistake prone. He's only 20. I keep having to remind myself how young he is because he's been here a while already.
He's still
already.
One of the youngest guys on the team.
Yeah, he feels like he's 30 because he's been here for like 5 years or whatever it is. But like, yeah, he's 25.
He reminds me. So I know that he makes some bad turnovers at times and mistakes. He reminds me a lot of Hedman at that age. But yeah. Hedman was playing next to Strawman.
Yeah.
Who erased all those mistakes you made.
Yeah, veteran.
And then
guy.
Hedman was playing next to McDonough.
He wasn't being
who
asked.
He erased
as much.
All those mistakes. Where Sergachev doesn't always have that guy on the right side that can erase those mistakes.
We're asking him to be the eraser a lot of times.
Yeah, let you go be that guy.
He's not yet.
And he is, but you're still going to make some mistakes. But like, you know, John Cooper used to always say, and he ended up being right, he says, Strom is never going to win the Norris Trophy, but his partner will.
Right. As part of wouldn't if he wasn't there.
Right, because Strawman was so good at letting Hedman go be Hedman, which Sergachev has that same skill set. Like, yeah. go be Mikhail Sergachev. Go be up and down the ice, but you need that stay-at-home, steady, rock-solid guy, whether it was Strawman or McDonough. I mean, you know, you need guys like that to partner with him. And he hasn't always had that. And I think that's why fans get frustrated at times, and you get a couple of those mistakes. Hedman used to make those mistakes too, but they were covered up.
Yeah.
Because Strawman was so good. I loved watching Strawman play with Hedman. Like,
yeah, we were pretty spoiled for a while there.
You can't always see it on TV, but when you're at the rink, you just watch how Strawman helped Hedman become Victor Hedman.
Yeah.
By being his partner. And McDonough was one of those guys that could do that too. And, you know, I mean, You mentioned Chernak. Look how good he was with McDonough. Because McDonough's phenomenal. Like,
it's showing now that he's not here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and Chernak's a good defenseman.
But he's, yeah.
But, you know, it helps when you've got a superstar next to you. Whether it's, you know, a star like McDonough's pretty much a star and was a captain this, but Strawman, who was an unknown to most people. I mean, if you know hockey, you did, but fans and all that, it was guy doesn't score a lot of points, just stays back in the defensive zone, but really good. Like that, your partner matters in your defensive pairing.
Yeah.
And the Lightning this year struggled to figure out pairs.
I mean, it's a lot easier when you have a billion pieces and they didn't have as many pieces. So you're trying all these different combinations, trying to find what works and what doesn't. And yeah, it's a hard thing to do.
And down the stretch, when Sergachev went down, you didn't have enough left-handed shot defense. You're playing Perbix and Dumba on the left side. You were trying everybody on the left side.
Yeah.
You know, which is funny because in years past, it was always the right side they couldn't find.
Right.
Because your left side was Hedman, McDonough, Sergachev and then whoever else. I mean, you had three studs on your left side. And then when Sergachev went down, you didn't have enough left-handed guys, which was funny.
Either way, and Sergachev did have the, I don't want to call it a turnover, but it kind of was a turnover at the blue line on the goal that it wasn't the game winner, but it was the third goal. It was the goal that made you feel like, okay, the season's over. It was, you know, it looked like the Lightning were about to get out of the zone. Quick little bump pass to Sergachev, and I thought, I couldn't tell what he was trying to do, if he was trying to bump it to somebody else or if it just bounced off his stick. But right there, Panthers stay in the zone off that mistake, turn it into a goal a few seconds later. And yeah, that was the moment where it's like, okay, we're done. That was the backbreaker. And yet, I think it was clearly better when Sergachev came back than when he was. But like, you could see a difference.
Well, he's not 100%. That tells you, yeah, he's not 100% either.
And of course not. Of course not. I'm not going to charge him with, the, you know, I mean, just the fact that he was back. But even not 100%, like, it was better when he got back than before that. Like, it was clearly different.
It would have been
that
helpful.
Alone, he's an asset. Yeah.
It would have been helpful if Darren Radish was still available. I mean, he came back and Radish was out.
Yeah, and Radish was very, he was kind of, I mean, not compared him to Strawman, but he was kind of that unsung guy who still played pretty well every night. And, you know, he is in this series, his numbers were very good, the games he played.
Yep.
And yeah, they missed him for sure. So these are all things that once we get back and everybody's healthy and Radish is a guy, and you look at some of the guys, like you said, to be a really good team, and the Rays have done this a million times, to be a really good team, of course, you got your superstars, but you have to have guys making like $800K a year who are still pretty good, like not just guys who are replacement level. And the Lightning always had that before. And so, like you said, if Lilleberg, who's making $870K, can be one of those guys, and Crozier, who's making $870K, can be one of those guys, and Radish, who's making $975K, can be those are, with the salary cap and with the people that we've lost, those guys have to be pretty good players at those numbers. And, you know, maybe they can fill in some of the holes, and then your superstars can be your superstars. And that's how it'll work. But, I mean, looking ahead here, first, the first thing that's you've got to be taken care of is the decision on Stamkos. Let me ask you this first of all, before we go. Do you think JBB already knows what's going to happen with Stamkos?
I believe he knows what his offer is.
Right, he knows his ceiling.
I don't think he. I don't.
But do you think he has a feeling for if he's? Yeah, like, do you think he knows? Like, how? Like, knows? I don't think he knows.
Well, I guess it depends on how healthy is the offer.
Yeah,
you know, if you're offering 3 years at $6 or $7 million, I think he's probably got a good shot that. Yeah, I think he'll probably take that. If the offer is 2 years at $5 million a year, I don't know if he knows.
Yeah, it's a token offer.
You know, I think Stamkos is going to get a huge offer on the market, because the whole purpose of free agency is you're going to overpay,
right?
Because you're convincing someone to leave where they're at to come to you. So unless they're miserable there, which Steven Stamkos is not, then you've got to overpay. Alex Killorn got $6.25 million for four years to go to Anaheim. That was over $1 million more than he was making any year with the Lightning. You know, they had to overpay to get him to come there.
Yeah, and Stamkos is a guy who people are going to look at and say, this guy will put us over the top. Look at the way he played just this series. Sure. I mean, it's just so it's not like he's washed up and you're trying to like regain some past glory. I mean, he's that guy right now. Numbers are going to be big, man. It's going to be tough. I know. And I'm reading Twitter and seeing all these fans saying, oh, my God, if nothing else. You know, some people are saying, if nothing else, you know, we'll be buoyed in just a few weeks by Stamkos's re-signing. And I'm like, guys, it's like your kids getting excited for something you didn't tell them they were going to get.
Is it possible that Julian and Stamkos's reps have had talks already? It is.
Oh, sure. Of
course. I mean,
not just possible. I would be very surprised.
They said they weren't going to.
Yeah,
but could they have already had some?
When you say talks, I mean very loose stuff, sure.
Well, but, you know, look, it can be, hey, we're thinking this range. How many years does he want? You know, I mean, basically, the Lightning's in a position where it's either going to be a higher dollar amount in less years or lower dollar amount for more years. Like, you know, how do you want to structure it? What does Steven want? And we don't know that answer.
He made $8.5 million this year.
Yeah, he's made that. So that was an 8-year, $8.5 million a year contract.
Right. I'm saying you can look at it as we're still, even if we re-sign him, we're still getting a break on the salary cap compared to what we were paying him. So it's not like.
Well, unless he wants $7 or $8 million.
Well, if he does, then that's fine. He can go, you know, then he can go.
Right.
And that's cool. I mean, I'm not, you know, but I just hope people understand. People have to understand the job of a GM and a guy like Brisebois or like Jason Life. It's not quite the same in football.
Yeah, football is completely different because there's voidable years and you can
cap, ways.
Like hockey, once you sign that contract, your cap number is locked in. There's no renegotiating it. There's no this. And it's the average value. It doesn't matter when the cash is paid to you, what the bonuses are, et cetera. It's, the total was $28 million over 4 years. It's $7 million a year for the cap hit for four years, period.
Like, which I like, by the way. I like the simplicity.
Yeah. But it makes it harder to
change
things or, you know, oh, we want to add a piece unless you're, you know, got Mark Stone on your roster is going to get hurt every year for LTIR. But
yeah, the LTIR thing is a whole other thing. But with what a guy like Julian Brisebois has to deal with, people need to understand. I mean, it's a very, very difficult job. Mm-hmm. We're all emotional. We all love Stamkos. He loves Stamkos. But you know what you all love more than Stamkos? Every one of you listening right now, you like the Lightning winning, okay? So he re-signed Stamkos, and it's going to be great. Oh, hey, great job. Yeah, everybody's going to be high-fiving. And then what if we're up against the cap and it's not working out? And even if he's playing well, if the Lightning as a franchise aren't playing well, you're not going to care about any of that anymore. You're going to be like, oh, no, we suck. What's going on? You know, and you're going to be mad at JBB. So he's got to, you know, he's got to tune out emotion, which is a hard thing to do. And he's good at it. I mean, all these guys are good at it. They wouldn't have gotten to where they are. But you, me, anybody on Twitter, all that stuff, you know, he's got to tune all that out and think about the franchise in very, very cold and calculating terms. And I think
Julian and his team are very good at that.
Oh, they're excellent at it. I mean, look, you can't, I don't care what happens, you can't complain. The future they mortgaged, if you even want to call it that, because they're not that bad off, but like the stuff we're dealing with now as a result of what they did. The whole point was to do what they did. They got the two Stanley Cups and three finals. So that the same with the Bucks. Like when they did all that stuff with Brady and the salary cap, they did it. Like that's the thing we wanted them to do. Okay. So you can't complain. We all wanted to do it again, of course, but that ain't how it works. But yeah, I know his team's very good at that. And the Rays are really good at it. I mean, people get mad all the time about the Rays. Oh my God, how do we trade Glass now? And blah, blah, blah. People go, it's so hard to be a Rays fan, man. You get attached to these players and they leave. I you know what? I think that's ridiculous. The only thing I'm attached to, I love certain players. We all want, I'd love for the same guys to be back every year and everything's great. But I like winning more than any one player. They ain't a single player in the history of any sport, even when I was a kid, that I liked more than my favorite team freaking winning, okay? And that's true for any fan. And so people need to understand that. And don't give me, oh, they traded a guy that I liked and my son has his jersey or whatever. Get your son a new jersey or maybe stop buying people's jerseys and worry about the crest on the front, not the name on the back. Because the players are going to... It's one of the reasons I'm so obsessed with uniforms, I think. Because that's really, at the end of the day, what you have to hold on to. They're always going to come and go, you know? And in this case, I mean, we don't know yet. But I'm preparing myself mentally that it could happen. I think a lot of people have already, especially with the performance
eight
in the
years
series,
ago,
they've
we thought
over
he was
the
gone.
Deep end.
8 years ago, we thought he was gone.
The Toronto rumors had been going on for almost a decade.
Oh, Buffalo, Detroit. I mean, it was all kinds of... He was going to go any one of those places 8 years ago.
And he may not now. Maybe the rumors will just be that again. Rumors.
I think nobody knows. Because here's what I do know. I know that the Lightning organization is about the tightest lipped organization you're going to find in sport. You never know what they're thinking. Even like when they traded for Dumba and Duclair this year, both of them were like, I had no idea the Lightning were even in on us. Like the Lightning operate a very tight ship where nothing gets out.
Right. And if you hear something, it's because they wanted you to hear it or because it's made up.
And Steven Stamkos is a pretty private individual. And I don't think he knows what he's going to do yet. I honestly believe he wasn't happy going in this season. But I honestly believe I'll deal with it after the season.
Yeah. Well, he wanted to be shown the love right away and not have to worry about any of this. Of course he did. I don't blame him for wanting
that. No, absolutely not.
He did what he had to do.
But what I'm saying is I don't think he's made up. I don't think he sat here this season going, how much would I play for here? What would I don't think he's done.
No, you have to hear it. You can make all of the numbers up in your head. You have to hear it. When another team, whoever it is, says this, and the Lightning say that, then he'll know.
And I don't believe Stamkos' team has told anybody anything. So anybody reporting or this, it's hope. It's we want to see this happen. We're hoping this happen. And they're probably talking to some of the teams, like whether it's Toronto or Nashville or Florida or whoever, that maybe their sources inside are like, yes, we'd love Steven Stamkos. We want to offer him. But that's the extent of, I don't think anyone from Stamkos or the Lightning side has said anything to anybody. I think everything else is just people speculating and hoping. Much like 8 years ago when it was, he's going to Toronto, he's going to Buffalo. Nobody knew. But those teams were ready to make offers and wanted him, yes. And that's what was getting reported, not that he's going there. Well, you know, that's what people were saying, but they were just hoping that into existence.
So final question about this matter to you. What do you think will happen if you had to put money down right now? Like you're looking ahead 3 months, it's the start of training camp. What's going on?
I think he's a bolt for life.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it gets done, but I think he's a bolt for life.
I do too. I'm preparing myself, but like I'm not going to be totally floored or bummed out if it doesn't happen.
I think he's a bolt for life as long as he's not going to play till he's like 45 like Tom Brady.
Right.
Then I can't guarantee that.
Well, if he plays at the level Brady plays well, at 45, that's a little bit different. And the level he's playing at now is that level. I mean, you know, it's been pretty good. He's not quite that old yet. As a matter of fact, this was his age 34 season. So, yeah, I mean, and listen, I'm not a pro athlete. I've never been a pro athlete. I've never been at that level of athleticism. But just I can tell you my own self, and I've never gone up against the level of athletes they're going up against. I think 35, 36, 37, I was still feeling bad. I'm 44 now and I still feel pretty good, but obviously I'm not a world-class athlete. I think he could be the player he is for another season, two, maybe three. I mean, if he was 38 right now, it'd be different, but he's mid-30s.
To me.
And you know what? When I was in my 20s, I would have poo-pooed that, but now that I'm 44, I think of like 30, 35, come on, you're doing great. You're feeling good, right?
To me, the biggest question for any athlete, and particularly we'll say in hockey, as you start to get to that age, and when you're a forward more than a defenseman at that age, is when does the speed start to drop off? At some point,
fast twitch,
you get slower, and I'm not even the twitch, but even the skating.
Yeah,
like,
but it's not the straight line speed. Like the line speed will be almost what it always. Well, it's the little things. It's the little cuts, the little changes of direction.
It will, but for instance,
it's stuff like that.
We saw Corey Perry here in Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
in his last year, he was significantly slower than the year before.
Yeah,
getting up and down the ice. And he was 38. Like. It happens. Like at some point, Mother Nature, Father Time catches up. It's undefeated. Some players can go longer than others, but it's undefeated. At some point, you're not going to be at your prime anymore. And so that's always the worry when you get to older players is when does that drop happen? And it's different for everybody.
Right, like you said with Perry just now, that was 37 to 38. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can live with that if that's what it is for Stamkos.
Watching him that final year with Tampa Bay, he was still a good player, and there's a lot of things he did great. But getting up and down the ice, like that fourth line, that school bus line got really slow that last year with Pierre-Edward Belmar, Maroon, and Perry. Like it was noticeable from one year to the next. Like, ooh, they couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you'd see they get stuck with the top line or two of the other team on the ice with them, and they were running laps around them.
Yeah, it wasn't going to work.
And because Belmar was 38, Perry was 38, and Maroon was 34, 35, and was never fast to begin with. Like, you know, it's not knocking the guys, but it's just it's what happens over time. And that's kind of your always worry is Stamkos is a top six forward. How long is he going to have enough speed to stay as a top six forward? I don't know the answer, and that's
he doesn't.
You know, defensemen can get away with a little less speed, and you know the smarts of positioning and where you're at on the ice and all that can help. But as a forward, you need that, particularly if you're center, which Stamkos is playing more wing now than center. But so that's always I think that's some of Julian Brisebois' concern and why let's wait till after the season to see where Stamkos is at before we decide his value or what we think his value is.
Yep. And Stamkos did as much as you could have asked him to do to demonstrate that value. So now we'll see how the negotiations go. Now there's nothing to do but wait at this point. And so
no, they could announce a contract this week. That'd be okay.
Oh no, you're right. I mean, they're free to do whatever they want, whenever they want. I think it'll be a little bit of time, and of course we have to wait for other teams. I mean, Stamkos is going to hear from other teams as well, and all that. And some of those teams may still be playing. But anyway, it's going to be a very interesting offseason. For the Lightning. As a Lightning fan, you can't be anything but really, really happy with what has already happened And it's a hard thing to give up. Like, you don't want to feel like it's coming to an end. And it doesn't necessarily have to be coming to an end just because they didn't win a couple years in a row. They could come right back at it. But it's going to be an interesting offseason. A lot of questions have to get answered, that being the first one and the main one. And then everything else maybe will fall into line after that. So I guess that's about it. We've come to the end. I'll tell you, I saw they showed the video you were talking about that they showed on the Jumbotron. They showed it on Bally Sports at the end of the game tonight. And it was
started
awesome.
With a dream?
With Esposito, you know, recreating the speech he gave at Expo Hall on opening night. And of the whole franchise back in 1992, yep. And then they put him in the same on the red carpet in the middle of the ice at Amalie. I still, by the way, whenever I drive down I-4, like the other day, we had a travel ball tournament in Plant City, and I was driving home. I take some of the kids come home, you know, they all want to be together, so they ride together. And I still show them every time. My son already knows because he's heard it a million times. But I point out to any new kid in the car, I go, "Hey, you see that building right there? The Lightning played there for a season." And they're like, every time they're like, "What?" I'm like, no. That was their arena for a season. Like, that was an NHL arena right there, and it was freaking awesome. Like, when that place was filled with 10,000 people, it was so loud because the roof was literally, you know, 5 feet above the last row's head. It was awesome. And then it showed all the highlight. They showed the Brian Bellows goal in overtime to win their first ever playoff game in Philly. Of course, Selivanov. And those memories, those are such great memories for me because that was the first time any of my teams had ever been in the playoffs. That every time this time of year, and even when it ends, like it just ended last night, I think back to what it was like then, just to be hoping to win a game in a playoff series. Like, it was the most incredible thing ever, and how much has happened since then and how far the franchise has come. But I don't ever want to lose what I felt. Like, it's easy to get jaded. Like, I'm older now, and we've all seen a million things, and Lightning have won 3 Stanley Cups. But I remember just being like, oh my God, they won a playoff game when Brian Bellows scored that overtime winner in Game 2 in Philly. And I always want to hang on to that. So every year that it comes to an end, even if it seems ho-hum like this series, it's the playoffs. It's a playoff series. It was fun. I wish we could do this show 20 more times like we've done in a few of the prior years, but let's never take it for granted, man. You know, I mean, this is really cool stuff, and it's a really cool organization. The Lightning, we're very lucky. All three of our teams were very lucky, but particularly the Lightning are like model franchises, and it's fun to root for an organization like that. They're not always going to win. Nobody is, but I'm going to sleep pretty well the next few nights and all through the offseason, knowing that a guy like JBB is in charge, knowing that a guy like Jeff Vinnick is in charge of the whole operation and all the other people they've got over there. Just really good stuff, and I think everything's going to be all right.
Well said, and you know, the future is it's always an unknown, but if you like the people in charge, then you have to trust the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, trust that Julian and Matthew Darche and the whole crew has a plan. I'm sure they have two plans, one with Stamkos and one without.
Yep.
Because ultimately it's Steven Stamkos' call at this point.
Yeah, and they're ready. They're prepared. Like you said, mm-hmm. I know whatever happens is not going to be just like in A Few Good Men when Tom Cruise is talking to his two assistants. He's like, act like everything that happens is exactly what you thought was going to happen. And I know that these guys are like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're planning. I mean, even think about this year remember Josh Archibald was supposed to be on the roster. And in September, he decided to retire instead. And they went out and got Tyler Mott right away.
Yeah.
And he's been a great addition, but I'd love to see him return.
Yeah, he played well. He made a couple nice plays in the third period tonight.
Mm-hmm. He and Luke Glendening together on the penalty kill, been fantastic. And Luke is signed for next year already, but Tyler Mott's a free agent. So it'd be interesting. You know, I know he was hoping to get more money than he did, which is why he was still available in mid-September.
Yeah.
And the Lightning were able to add him, but he was a great piece on this team. Would love to see him back.
Okay. Well, we'll see all the moves that get made, but it's going to be a fun offseason, a little bit longer than we'd hoped. And in the meantime, the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs should be good. It's funny, I think the last night the Stars did win to make it 2-2, but none of the series of the eight series, only one of the eight, reach 2-2 status. They're all 3-1, except for the Rangers and Capitals, yep. was 4-0 already over with. Do you think any of those? I mean, odds are one of those 3-1 series will go to the team that's only got one win right now, I guess. But yeah, it's been a weird first round. Like, it hasn't been a lot of. I mean, the Boston Toronto series I thought might be 2-2 by now, and it still could be a series. But
well, Austin Matthews even play Game 5? He left game four. His status is unknown for game five.
Yeah, they're yelling at each other. Austin Matthews isn't coming out for the third. I mean, Toronto's a mess, and they're already basket cases up there anyway, just given their history.
Well, no, they're saying Matthews may not play game five.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, we don't know what the hell's going on over there. Yeah. And so, either way, even if none of these, I think just odds dictate one of these 3-1 series, somebody will come back and win it. But even if they don't, it's going to be a fun rest of the playoffs. And the hockey playoffs, you know, as they get deeper, like you said before, the first round is so much fun because it's, first of all, more hockey. But second of all, it's crazy. Like, that's when a lot of the upsets start happening. I guess by the time you get to the second round, nothing feels like an upset, no matter what the seed number is next to anybody's name anyway. We saw that last year with the Panthers. But it's not – like, sometimes when my team gets eliminated, it's just hard for me to get back into it, and I go on kind of a blackout period where I don't watch anything else, and I just don't care. And I'm not – it's not like that with this. Like, I'm dialed in. I'm going to be watching playoff hockey every night for the next few weeks. And so – I guess at this point, there's nothing left to do but watch other teams play in the playoffs. We don't wish it was that way, but it is. So, Steve, hey, man, first of all, I want to thank you. It's every year we go through this, and it starts to get to like March and April, and I'm like, hey, how are we doing? What are we doing? Are we doing it for the playoff? Oh, yeah, we're doing Lightning Playoff Rewind. We're doing it again this year. Only 5 shows. I wish it had been more, but thanks so much for having me. It's always great to be a part of the Lightning Audio Network. Thanks to all you guys, the listeners out there. Feel free to email me anytime. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameDay. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. And you can follow me on Twitter @BobbyGameDay. Same thing. Follow Steve @SteveVersnick. Steve, it's been real, man. Let's get ready for the offseason. It will be September before you know it. That much I know. The summer goes by very quickly.
It does. And we got, there'll be some news in the summer. Of course, Steven Stamkos, whether he resigns or not. Will Nikita Kucherov win the Hart Trophy? Those finalists for that trophy is announced. Show. The finals will be announced next week for that, but it won't be till late June. The draft is at the end of June. Free agency starts July 1. The schedule should come out in mid-June as well. So there'll be news and notes, yep. And you know, we'll see what other moves Julian Breezeball pulls off as well.
There we go. And you can keep it. Just stay tuned to the Lightning Audio Network is going on all the time. There's always something on. What do you have? How's the offseason work on the Lightning Audio Network?
Generally, it's a lot of replays of the games from the past season, or maybe even some old classic games. We'll have to figure. We don't really plan that ahead because we're hoping that we're playing into June. So now, this week we got to figure out what to do. So Power Lunch will go on for the rest of this week. There'll be a final Block Party podcast drop this week, Into the Blue. There'll be a new one that comes out later today with Gabby and Chris. It'll be their season wrap-up one. So new programming this week, and then we'll figure out the offseason after that.
There we go. Well, hey, thanks again, my friend. It's always a good time. Look forward to the next time we get to do it. That is Lightning Playoff Rewind post game 5. Panthers win the series 4-1, and next game is whatever opens up the 2024-2025 season. So until then, for the final time, enjoy the offseason. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and let's go Lightning.